verse 11. We saw concerning Jephthah last week that couldn't advance because we had quite a lot of things to do. So Jephthah fled from Judges chapter 1. Let's read from verse 1. Judges 11 from verse 1. And then I'll wrap up in the next 15, 20 minutes. The Holy Ghost helping. Judges chapter 11.
Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. Gilead's wife also bore him sons, and when they were grown up, they drove Jephthah away. "You are not going to get any inheritance in our family," they said, "because you are the son of another woman." So Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob, where a gang of scoundrels gathered around him followed him.
Hold it there. Jephthah fled from his brothers and settled in the land of Tob. I will dwell a little bit about this land. Woo. Because you will come to discover that he that was called the son of an harlot, from this same land of Tob, they went to pick him, they went to get him, they went to fetch him like they fetch water. They went to fetch him and told him that they need him to be the leader of the entire nation. Where is this land of Tob? And I was wondering and praying about it, and the humorous side of me began to say, "Oh wow, why is it so synonymous with the name of our senior pastor called the land of Tob?" They just have put the eye in front of it and said, "They fled to the land of Tob." Fled to the land of Tob, because from the land of Tob is the land of making of generals, is the land of making of champions, is the land of mentorship, is the land where your life is put back in order so that you can be released back into the society to take number 10, to take number 20, to take White House. From the land of Tob. The land of Tob. Where is this? What is the land of Tob? And because you need to understand what happens in the land of Tob, so that peradventure you are not yet in the land of Tob, you need to know that that's the only school that giants go through. The land of Tob is the only school that champions go to. And I was not shocked that even Moses, a great prophet, had to go to his own land of Tob. Where was the land of Tob for Moses? The land of Tob for Moses was the house of Jethro, his father-in-law. He dwelt in that land of his own Tob. He dwelt there for 40 years. And then after 40 years, God said, "Now it's time to release you back to your generation." I am speaking to about 85 people here today, that their amen will be louder than that of your neighbor. Everywhere God has ordained you to rule and reign, from this house you are released there. Fled to the house of Tob. Because what happens in the land of Tob? The land of Tob is where your life is put back in order. Because check out all the guys. The Bible said all the scoundrels gathered around him and followed him. And I discovered from scripture, please don't make a mistake of these. Check every giant in the scripture. Every one of them had the land of Tob. Including our Lord Jesus, you know. Can you imagine somebody preparing for 30 years for 3 years of generational impact? He went into the Bible said, can you imagine somebody coming out of the water where he had so much of witness? The Holy Ghost came. God the Father was there. God the Son himself there. This was one of the only major holy places where you see the three of them in the scripture at the same time confirming him. And I would have thought that what would have been the next eagerness of Jesus, which I believe so, was to go now into the city and begin to manifest. But listen, it was not yet time to manifest. It was now time to go into the land of Tob. And that's why you will see the Bible said, and the Holy Ghost driveth him. You don't need to be driven where you want to go. He was driven. He was compelled. He was compelled to go to the land of Tob. He wanted to go into the synagogue and begin to show that, yes, I am here. But it was only in the land of Tob. Listen to this, so I can begin to piece the word that you've been hearing from this word together. It was only in the entire land of Tob that the sand part of him can be washed off. The human part of him. Those of you that were on tall seals on Tuesday, you begin to piece some of these things together. Because dust was already on him as a human being. It's only in the land of Tob that the dust on you can be washed off. Because if the dust on you is not washed off, you will only feel, you can even see the greatness of God on your inside. To access it becomes impossible because there is still dust on you. That was why Jesus, when he got to a point, he said, the prince of this world has come and he has nothing in me. Why? I have been to the land of Tob where the dust has been washed off me. That was why he could face the devil. And you discover that the only temptation the devil brings to every man is based on those three things. The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That was everything that Jesus was tested on, was based on those three things. Pride of life. Look at all these things. I'm going to hand them over to you. Always under those three headings. But listen to me. Jesus had been to the land of Tob. The dust part of him, the clay part, the sand part had been washed off. And so he could boldly confront the devil without an interference. Because that's what the devil, that's what happens with our flesh. The flesh interferes with the spiritual radar. The flesh interferes with the radar from on high, so you are not able to peek. And so, they fled to the land of Tob. Check the credentials of everyone that fled to him. They were people that were already written off by society. But listen to me, there are strange things that take place in the land of Tob. In the land of Tob is where you are told that yes, you have power, but the way you have been using your power is wrong. That's where you have people that have been misguided. Now when they come to the land of Tob, then they are now teleguided. They are teleguided to be released to their generation. To say, yes, you used to be hungry and beat up people. But listen, your hunger, to leave your hunger. But the hunger now to be turned to the right thing. That is what happens in the land of Tob. I don't know whether anyone here wants to go to the land of Tob. I pray for you in the name of the Lord. May the Lord take you to the land of Tob. He said, they gather together unto him, the land of Tob. Because even Jephthah himself can only be schooled in the land of Tob. Have you not read it in your scripture? That Joseph himself had the land of Tob. And I've always said this. I said it last week. I told you. Every general, every giant, every champion in the kingdom has a land of Tob. Look at Joseph. God showed him his hand. From his beginning. Now God now took him back to the beginning. Go and start. That's what God always does. That's why you see someone was sharing with me. He said, I see myself speaking with presidents and having what's happening to me. I said, calm down. But here am I, I'm still in the area of Chadwalit, Dagenham, and still speaking. I've not even spoken to a local counselor. And I'm here speaking, seeing myself in the dream. I said, listen to me. God is giving you a peep of where he intends to take you to. So, but when he gives you such a peak, he now brings you to the beginning of that journey. Understand this, that please, wherever God and everything God has ordained for you, he's not just about to do it. Blessed be the Lord our God who has blessed us, not who will bless us. He has blessed you. Everything you are going to be has already been accomplished. Everything you are going to do has already been set. That's why some of you, you are seeing the signals. Some of you are seeing the pictures. But the frustration of where you are bringing to mind what you are seeing is what is killing you. Understand it. Listen, God is showing you where he ordained for you. So, but he brought you to the beginning of the journey. So say, now start walking there. Listen to me. That's why I told you, if on the way to the journey, you begin to feel somehow and you are wondering, where is God? No. Where is God? God is not anywhere. God is at the finishing line waiting for you. He's waiting for you because you must get there. Somebody say, I will get there. That's where God is. That's where God is. Now, one of the scripture, one of the passages that used to give me, you know, the scripture was Isaac. The Bible said God told him, don't go down, dig a well. He dug the first one, they covered it. He heard God very clearly. They covered it, and the God that spoke to him to dig well didn't show up to encourage him. I would have thought that God would have come by and said, come on, take it easy, don't worry, go ahead. No, God is not a talkative. Once has the Lord spoken, twice have I heard. The power belongs to God. Whatever he tells you, he has the ability. Not just that he has the ability. Whatever he tells you, he has already done it. He's only waiting for you to obey his step-by-step guide. And I hear the Lord say to me, in this month of wealth, everyone under this house of God, in the name of the Lord, you are getting to your land of promise. Isaac went ahead and dug the second well. Dug the second well. And they covered it again. That's why I tell people, understand the fact that God spoke a word to you does not mean that it's all going to be cheap. The fact that, yes, I had God, does not mean that there will not be obstacles. The second well he dug, and listen to me, the time this man called Isaac, when he dug this well, was a famine period. What would have happened in the famine period is that the water level would have dropped further down. Trying to let you know the amount of energy that would have gone, the amount of resources that would have gone into digging that well. They did it the first time, it was wasted. Listen to me, even the guys that dug it would have said, Oga, when we dig that well, we will use just 1% of energy. But this one, we have used 10%. They have covered it. Let's just thank God and close the chapter and say, I'm going to find something else to do. How he came around to encourage them, I don't know. The Bible said they went ahead and dug the second one. But listen to me, the unbelievable happened. They dug the second well. And that's why I beg you, sirs and masters, don't let envy or jealousy come around your life. He's a waster. Now, I was thinking to myself, I said to myself, now, the guys that covered up these wells, they were also in the famine. Do you know? They were in the famine. I would have said, okay, why don't them just take over this well and begin to use it for their own stuff? But envy will not permit them to see right. That's what envy and jealousy does to you. It blindfolds you. It beclouds every sense of reason. It just blindfolds everything. No, you won't have it. We will also not have it. Why don't somebody have it? So that at least you can enjoy the water. No problem. At least we know that somebody is benefiting from the energy that we put in the place. They said, no, we will rather cover it. We will rather die than drink from your own well. And the second time they did the same. And I believe that would have been the time that Isaac would have given. But the Bible said Isaac still went ahead and dug the third one. Now where I'm going is this. When he dug the third one and they did not contend for it, that was when God showed up. Said, yeah, well done, that's my son. I've told you, I'm going to be with you. Now where was God the first two wells? There are people here asking God, where was God? There's a man here, you've always been asking, hey, if God is really God, what happened to my mother? That should never happen. God, you can't call him to court. You can't call him to a discussion. You call him, you lose. You don't call him, you lose. So the best thing is to just connect with him and say, Lord, have your way and do with me as thou pleases. The donkey thought well and they called it Rehoboth. And then that was when the God showed up. Why? And I knew from this time, God is always waiting for you where he had already spoken. He's not waiting for you at the point of your failure to encourage you. That's why the Bible said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. Because God is not waiting for him at the point of his breakdown. God is waiting for him at the point of his breakthrough. Because once he speaks a word, it's an authority. Everything God has spoken to you for good, in the name of the Lord, I command manifestation. So, Joseph too went to the land of Tob. His land of Tob was the land and the house of slavery. But listen, he went to the land of Tob. Every giant, every champion in the scripture, every one of them had a land of Tob to go. The problem with the church is this: we go to the house of Tob, we go back. The scoundrels, the guys that gathered themselves together to Jephthah, they didn't leave. Listen, the land of Tob was like a camp. It's not about, oh, no, I don't like what's happening there, I'll go back. The moment you drop out, you drop out. And the reason why the journey of so many people have been prolonged is because they enter the land of Tob and they come out. After 3 months again, they say, oh, why did I even leave? Listen, you are the one postponing the journey, the agenda of God for your life. Because until God finishes the work he needs to do in your life in the land of Tob, he's not going to release you to the nation of Gilead to reign. He's not going to release you to the land to take over. So, you discover some people are in the land of Tob for so many years. In and out. In and out. In and out. So they never arrive. And listen, God has all the time. You don't have all the time. God has all the time. That's why God said, that's why God changes people. Say, okay, no worries. You are in the land of Tob here. You are at 65. Still in the land of Tob. I was telling a man. And he had an issue. And we told him what to do. In my previous assignment. He said, now, this, take this step. Go and surrender. I had some of my people there with me. I said, go. And then the man came and said, but my mind is not telling me to go. And right there in the point of, I said, this same mind that has run your life down like this at over 56 or thereabout it was then. I said, the same mind that has directed your life into the dungeon, you still have the guts to trust that mind instead of you coming with your mind. Say, please, I surrender my mind. Please, wherever your mind says, that's where my mind should go. Is the land of Tob. It's the land of mentorship. Because without this land, access to what God has ordained for you is impossible. Access to what God has shown you is impossible. Access to what you desire for good is impossible. Every champion in the scripture has to go or had to go to the land of Tob. And please get this well. Whatever your background. And I was looking at it and I said to myself, wait a minute, why was the name of the mother of David never mentioned in the scripture for once? Who knows the name of the mother of David? Have you read it anyway? Does he not have a mother? He must have. But we have never read in the scripture. Well, all we hear is David, the son of Jesse. Okay, so who is the mother of? And I discover also that this trace is what helps us to understand the fact that that was actually the reason why he was the last born and they put him in charge of sheep in a dangerous place because of the story surrounding his birth, because of the story surrounding the birth of David. And I discovered that God specializes in picking people that have been written off. He specializes in picking them up and say, I'm going to show you that I am a God that never writes anyone over. I'm going to show the world that no, the rejected stone can become the chief cornerstone, because Jesus himself was rejected and yet he became the chief cornerstone. And there are people that have been rejected. either rejected by society, rejected by family, rejected by failure in educational system. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to me, this season is picking you up for higher ground. There was a story surrounding the birth of David, because that's how you will know. In the case of Joseph, it was his elder brothers that were in charge of the sheep in the desert, two of us. You remember, he was the beloved, the last born of his father. So he was always home. Now that was the culture, that was the norm in Israel. The last born is pampered and at home. So the others will be sent to the field to go and take care of sheep. And because the sheep where they send them to is always a dangerous desert where there are wild animals. Listen to me. Because of the story surrounding the birth of David. Because it's very similar to Jephthah. Because of the story surrounding the birth of David, which I don't have time to tell you today, they sent him to the desert to ranch, look after the sheep. His father also consented. Because why do you expect that they will come, a whole prophet Samuel, who never comes to town without a major issue? He said, I invited the whole house of Jesse. They didn't bring David because he was an outcast. They saw him as not part of the family because of the story surrounding his birth, which story even David himself knew and got to learn. That was why in Psalm 64, David said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me. That's why he went further. He's in somewhere else. He said, cleanse me with water and hyssop, and I will be clean. Because there was a story of iniquity around his birth. So they said, you know what? This one is an outcast. He's not our son. He's not part of us. So let's leave him to take care of the sheep in the desert. A wild animal will pick him up. And then the negative story surrounding our family will be ended, not knowing that he was the one destined to give the family a lane, not knowing that he was the one destined to raise the profile of the family. I am speaking to Spark Nation this morning. I'm speaking to PSG members this morning. I'm speaking to everyone at this PSG. I declare heaven is raising you up. So that was how eventually they waited for David. And I believe that was the conviction for Jesse himself. Jesse himself. I won't go into the details of it. I will tell you today the name of the mother of David. You are researching. But he had a mother. The mother was still alive. But she had been ostracized. And so they ostracized that child. Not knowing. And I discovered that the essence of rejection is self-discovery. This was what happened to Jephthah. He was rejected. And until he was rejected, he didn't discover the hidden potentials. And so if there's anyone here today, you have been rejected in any way. No, it's not your point of breakdown. It's actually your point of breakthrough. If only you will identify the land of Tob. Because that's the land where you need to go to. And I want to pray for some people. I want to pray for some people. For some people, it's in the land of Tob that you begin to discover the living waters on your inside. You know, hear this, what the Lord told you. Everyone that is being used by the devil in one way or the other today, take note of this. Go and check history. The devil has no original generals. Every general in the kingdom of darkness, they are actually earmarked for the kingdom of God. So the devil catches them faster, switches them, and begins to use them. And in using them, there is an anointing on them that makes them excel in what they are doing. Now, the anointing they are using is not really of the devil. The devil just manipulated it. You know, he's a manipulator from the beginning. That was what happened to Saul, because he had been chosen from the womb to carry the anointing. And the devil knows that he cannot really make any impact other than the fact that he can play on their ignorance and turn their thing around and turn them to misguided missiles. And then begin to use them to wreak havoc. But that's why when you now see, when they become converted, the passion, the fire becomes something else. The passion becomes something else. Why? Because they have been earmarked. So the devil has no original general. So you saw, just like he has no original agenda. Everything the devil does is just a turnaround of what God did, because you know he was with God. many years. Now, the ones that we call demons today, were they demons before? No, they were not demons before. True or false? No. It was angels that returned and brought them down with his tail. And listen to this very well so that we can go and pray. Because God wants to do some quick work in this place this morning. Do some quick work. There are people that need to wash off the sand. Each time you come to the land of Tob, the word, the washing of the water by the word comes to you. Washes off the sand, washes off the clay, washes off the earth part of you, so that you can become equipped, prepared to reign and rule. But listen to me, after a short while, you go back into the world by virtue of friends, by virtue of relationships. Then you get messed up again. And then you keep going and coming. You keep going and coming. Each time you come, there is so much sand on you. What is the sand? Many of the time, the sand can only just be anger. Many of the time, the sand is pride. That's why you see people in church saying, no. If not for church, me and him. If not for church. If not for church. No, those languages are languages of the sand, of the fallen man. Those languages, those thoughts in your mind, you may not even say, but really, that's the thoughts running in your mind. The sound of pornography, and then it defies you. No wonder Zechariah chapter 3 says it. He said, and then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before God to offer sacrifice. But then, and then Joshua was ready, enjoying the cloth of the garment that he was wearing and thinking that, yeah, everything is perfect. But listen, the devil had put on him filthy garments. Because he knows no matter how much he shouts and prays, with those filthy garments on, he's going nowhere. Listen, the devil is a legalist. God was there, the devil was there. The guy knows what he's doing. God was there, the devil was there. He knows what he's doing. So God was waiting. And then the devil said, no, I rebuke you. You can't go anywhere. And he said, look at it. The Joshua himself didn't know that he was wearing filthy garments. What are these filthy garments? These are the filthy garments that you come to the land of Tob to be taken and stripped and set on fire. The filthy garments of pornography. The filthy garments of crime. The filthy garments of selling drugs. The filthy garments of illicit affairs and relationships that are not of God. Filthy garments. So the enemy knows no matter how much he prays, there is filthy garments on her. So with that, we have the legal ground to resist her. And until that filthy garment is taken off, before her prayers and her voice can be heard, before she can be who we have ordained her to be. So, you come to the land of Tob, you go back, the filthy garment is on, and the enemy keeps this cycle on and on. An assignment is being postponed. Assignment is being delayed for you to get into the fullness of God's agenda. So you keep going in and out. And God is saying, if you can stay and abide in the land of Tob and allow God Almighty to wash you with hyssop and water through the washing of his word and stay under the word, then your Jephthah can arise and rule the entire nation, because you have already been ordained to be a ruler to the nations. So you have been ordained. If you will abide, if you will stay in the land of Tob, if you will stay in the land of Tob, that's where your excess, that's where you begin to learn all manner of things. That's where you learn about the kingdom practices. That's where you learn about the covenants of the kingdom called Abib. Some of you, the filthy garments on you is the filthy garments of I know what I am doing. Nobody can tell me what to do. No, I'm smart. I'm good. And then you ask them, okay, what are the results around? And you discover there is none. The thing just tells them that's the fallen state of man. And that's why when we pray in the Holy Ghost, what we do, praying in the Holy Ghost, is what happened, a pictogram of what happened in John chapter 5, where the Bible said, there is a pool called Bethesda. An angel will always come at a time to steer the water. Listen to me, steering of water means like, it's a typical description of confusion. Is that not what happened to them when they received the Holy Ghost? on the day of Pentecost, they began to speak with strange tongues. Doesn't it look like stirring of water when you are praying the Holy Ghost? Because you don't know what you are saying. This water is being stirred. The Bible now says, whoever enters first into the water is healed of whatever infirmity. The infirmities the Bible is talking about here, it's not just infirmities of sickness that you commonize, or HIV or whatever, or SS or this or that. The infirmity of man, sin. That's the infirmity of man. That's the infirmity of man. Because without that, death has no power. So Jesus gave them a pictogram. And then when he came, he said, no, I'm here already. You don't need to wait for the stirring of the water. And that's why when Jesus himself left, the Holy Ghost came. And so therefore now, 1,000 people can enter into that pool at the same time and be healed. So when we begin to speak in tongues, what we are doing is we are stirring the water. We are letting the water flow. And as the water is flowing, healing is taking place. Pride is being dealt with. Arrogance is being dealt with. Those things that you thought were part of you begin to be washed off by water. But the reason why you keep going and coming, it's only because you go into the world a little bit and you come back to the land of Tob and then say, okay, I'm here again. And then you have gathered so much again. And then you go there again. And then you have gathered so much and you come back. And it's time to do that. There's a postponement of divine agenda. Why don't you lift up your hands wherever you are? If you can stand with me to your feet. Father, purge me of every sand. I am here in the land of Tob. I surrender myself to you, spirit, soul, and body. I open up to you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you will purge me. No wonder David cried, he said, purge me of secret faults. Make me whole. I want you to open your mouth and begin to speak to the Lord. Lord, I open up my life to you. I ask, Lord, that you cause me to abide in this land of Tob so that I can fulfill that which you have ordained for me. Lord, help me, 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 Lord, help me. I cry to you. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I should no longer just be running around in circles. It's time for me to fulfill destiny. Oh, God, purge me. Make me whole. Lord, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Lord, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Purge me, Lord. Make me whole. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to go into a session of hot prayers now. Do you know how many years between the time David was anointed and the time he sat on the throne? What happened? He had to go into the house of Tob again and again. He had to go into that house. And there are people that are in this service today. They are not even enrolled into that house of Tob. And the first enrollment is into the Lord Jesus. You say, Lord Jesus, do with me what you have ordained for me. I refuse to run my life the way I've been running it by myself. I hand it over to you. Whatever I've been doing by myself, fighting for this, fighting for that, I realize I don't need to fight. You are the one that takes over. And how you take over is when I come and surrender to you. Because listen, listen to this. What will make you, listen to this, what will make you not to be able to partake of the season of Abib in an extraordinary way is the part of you that is still sand. That's the part of you that calculates all manner of calculation. If I do this, and those calculations are contrary to the covenant, they disallow you from entry. Because some of you, the Lord told me that as this season of Abib is coming, the Lord is going to be laying a figure in your heart. And listen to me, if you can obey that which the Lord has told you to do, then access is already granted. Because, and that's why, that's what the devil specializes in doing. I'm discussing with God's servants this morning. One of the specialties of the devil is to set you up and withdraw. And then leave you with your God. That's the doctrine of Balaam. When it could not curse them because God had blessed them. It could not curse. He said, I can't curse who God has blessed. So after he did all that, and I called King Balak. He said, come King, let me give you a secret to them. All you need to do is set them up with sin. Let them, you know, set strange women amongst them. When you do that and they fall into sin, their God himself is the one that will fall on them. Yes, came Balak, said, ah, so that's the secret. And then the Bible said, Balak arranged strange women, flooded the camp, and then Israel too, they fell for it. You have been falling for too many tricks of the enemy. If that is what the enemy is using to bastardize and to delay the journey into greatness. And the Lord said to me, there are about 25 people here. If they can come to say, Lord, I want to drop it all today. I will no longer fall into the trap of the devil. As we begin to steer the waters in prayer. Because I want you to release a voice of prayer today as we pray. You are going to lift up your voice and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because what you are doing each time you are doing that is, Lord, is there any part of me? Is there anything still in me that the enemy is still holding on to? Oh Lord, search me and make me whole by your spirit. Search me and make me whole by your word.